Welcome back to EcoTalk. We're speaking with Andy Revkin, the climate reporter for the New York Times, who's come under some scrutiny recently for an article he wrote on New Year's Day about the middle group of people who view climate change as real but are not as alarmed as some perhaps on one side. And Dave Roberts is a staff writer for Grist Magazine. He's written a response to that article. And you'll both probably be pleased to hear that Al Gore himself this week at the Climate Project training mentioned this article. I guess Andy will not be pleased to hear that he called it an unfortunate article, but he also sung your praises as a reporter. So just wanted to pass that along and let you finish your thought, Andy, before we went to break.
Sure. Actually, I've been hoping to cover the trainings that are taking place there, but they won't let the media in yet.
Well, they don't know that I'm media. That's the fun thing. I pretended. The other side of my personality, the radio activist, was there. Well, they said, it's funny, they said there was no media there other than two meteorologists. And since they kind of know me, I figured they see me more as, an environmental, a friend of the environment. It's interesting they both.
I should mention that one of the bloggers that writes for our site was at the Nashville trainings and has written an amusing account thereof, if anybody wants to.
Yes,
and read that.
I do.
Oh, in the meantime, too, I did want to encourage people to the article is still up and running on our Energy Challenge series, which is like 23 stories and counting, and it's at nytimes.com/energychallenge. What I was going to say is that there's more coming on this next week from several top-flight climate scientists, that there really are three things that need to be pressed aggressively in the next decade or two to set the stage for limiting climate risks. One is there has to be much more focus on adapting to the climate change, the warming and other things that are going to happen inevitably in the next several decades that won't be deterred no matter what policy we choose, even if we chose the most aggressive policy right now. Like if everyone said, thou shalt turn off all internal combustion engines and generators right now, the climate will continue to warm a degree or two based on what's already in the system. And so that means there's a lot coming down the pike that we have to prepare for in many ways. The second thing is to get some movement toward accord on a gradual but inevitable and inexorable limit on carbon emissions that kicks in somehow, not just here, but with an eventual agreement in developing countries in some way or other. And then the third is an energy technology revolution that is far beyond the pace of research investment by either the public or private sector that's been happening the last several decades. And the scientists who are making this pitch say the factor that's missing to make it happen is leadership. And they're all craving like a JFK-style, someone, either a candidate for president or whatever, to come out and say, this is an energy quest. This is an adventure, not a catastrophe. We need to get busy, to make it a positive, empowering kind of a mission.
Like the Apollo Project. And the Apollo Alliance.
Well, this is what amuses me. Everyone seems to agree that we are not doing what we need to do, and we really desperately need to get started and get moving. But at the same time, we have the voices who have worked the hardest and made the most impact and who are most out in public making this argument being branded as extremists, so that other people can have this comfortable label of being
I'm not sure. I think I'm laying out the landscape. I'm not branding anybody. Frankly, in the history of discourse and democracy, it's essentially the way the system works. There are louder voices at the edges, and there is a middle, and the whole thing is like this big push-me-pull-you with everyone and most citizens riding along on the back of this strange beast, and it sort of migrates in one direction or another. And hopefully, usually in the direction of progress. So I'm not castigating the edges. What the article and what the Energy Challenge series has been pointing out is that, all the great and fun and cool and affordable and fantastic technologies that are out there now, solar thermal at the extent we have it, the efficiency of wind. There and the people who are pushing hard to make these initial legislative steps, it's all great, but it's just setting the table. In fact, it's not even setting the table. It's getting the silverware out of the drawer, getting ready to set the table for the transition that would need to take place.
Well, in fact,
actually limit climate change.
One of the quotes that came out of that, I think it was from the resident scientist they had on hand, Dr. Michael McCracken. He was actually aware of all this before Al Gore even was back 35 years ago. He learned from Professor Revel. But one of the quotes, either from Gore or Dr. McCracken, was, "We're still throwing dirt on the mountain that we're just going to have to dig ourselves more out of more." That's not the proper English, but you get the point. And one of the things that struck me when I saw Al Gore's movie, you know, it strikes me that maybe there's a little bit of hyperbole. Maybe he's having to overstate the case a bit to wake people up. But having this highly respected, you know, climate scientist sitting there actually nodding in agreement or in a few cases making some, you know, clarifications, although minor, I'm like, oh, my God, it is as bad as he said. It was pretty disturbing, even for someone like myself who kind of lives in this space.
Well, what I'd like to say is that I think there is broad agreement about the fact that it's a huge problem and the fact that some pretty fundamental changes need to get underway. And I totally agree with the way Andy just framed those three major challenges, although, you know, it is worth saying within each of those three there's a huge range of policy options. The interesting question here is, I mean, the real difficulty of the global warming problem is that it's a huge communications challenge. The problems, you know, no one suffers individual effects, hardly, and the time scale is so slow, and everybody's a little bit to blame, but nobody is responsible, uniquely responsible. It's a huge communications problem, so there's lots of people out there writing and talking and wondering about how to communicate
to the public,
and there are people who think that causing some alarm and kickstarting things, while it might be slightly misleading, the idea that we can just tackle this problem all at once, at least we'll get motion started. And once motion is started, then you can build on that and build momentum. But okay, we've got to shake ourselves out of the apathy.
We have to start a spot break. Can you stay with us for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, stand by. We'll be right back after the news break. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio.